thy might, and quiet in thy meekness. May we thine image bear from day to day. Then may we enter pearly gates eternal, and sing redemption song each Sabbath day.
Number 415. 415. Christ the Lord, all power possessing. C. Mervyn Maxwell composed these words for a familiar tune, and the words embody our Adventist thinking about Christ's coming. First, we'll see as we go here, but it includes the judgment, Christ coming to the Father at the start of the judgment and to receive the kingdom, and then coming eventually when every eye shall behold him. So, number 415, Christ the Lord, all power possessing.
Christ the Lord, all power possessing, parting mounted heaven's height, gracious hands outstretched in blessing, clouds received him from their sight. Christ ascended, Christ ascended on the clouds. Christ ascended on the clouds. Daniel views each judgment hour, angels gathering open books, God enthroned in flaming power, for his son's arrival looks. Christ approaches on the clouds. Christ approaches on the clouds. Revelation's word fulfilling, trumpet voices pierce the air, saint and sinner fainting, thrilling, every eye behold him there. Christ is coming. Christ is coming on the clouds. Christ is coming on the clouds.
And then just across the page, number 416. The judgment has set. The books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day? Will we have our sins all washed away? That is the key question for us, isn't it? And as we remember the start of our movement, as we understood the sanctuary and the judgment, this song certainly fits with our theme here today. And thank God we can know that our sins are forgiven, that we can go to Jesus, we can know that we are accepted by him, and that he is our Savior and he will save us. Number 416, the judgment is set.
The judgment has set, the books have been opened. How shall we stand in that great day, when every thought thought and word and action, God the righteous judge shall weigh. How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before Him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? The work is begun with those who are sleeping. Soon will the living here be tried. Out of the books of God's remembrance, His decision to abide. How shall we stand in that great day? How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before Him wanting, or with our sins all washed away? Oh, how shall we stand that moment of searching, when all our sins those books reveal? When from that court each case decided shall be granted no appeal. In that great day, how shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found before Him wanting, or with our sins all washed away?
Good morning. Anticipating saints, right? That song is very serious, isn't it? But that's why we're here this morning, because we know where our safety lies and we want to be with Him first thing Sabbath morning. Those of us that were here last night were reminded that the early pioneers had sunrise services. I don't know that I would be able to get to a sunrise service, but I'm glad to be here for Sabbath school, and I'm sure glad that you are here. Because I believe that perhaps if there's anything that can be most important, this may be the most important part of the Sabbath school, if we're all participating and if we have all come prepared. There's something special about the church service, but there's something extra special, I believe, about Sabbath school. And maybe that's why the devil makes it so hard for some of us to get there from time to time. But I'm glad you're here, and we're looking forward to the Lord's blessing as we spend this time together. This truly is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank You that You have invited us to spend this Sabbath with You. Such a high Sabbath, and we're looking forward with anticipation to what You have planned. But Lord, as we begin this Sabbath school time, may we truly receive the blessing that You have for us. May the words that are spoken, the songs sung, the prayers offered, and the ideas that are shared continue to be blessed by You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn now to hymn number 598. 598, Watch Ye Saints, with eyelids waking. Lo, the powers of heaven are shaking. Keep your lamps all trimmed and burning, ready for your Lord's returning. Lo, He comes. Lo, Jesus comes. Let's stand together as we sing. Let's sing all the verses of this hymn, Watch Ye Saints, number 598. Thank you.
Watch ye saints with eyelids waking, lo, the powers of heaven are shaking. Keep your lamps all trimmed and burning, ready for your Lord's returning. Lo, he comes, lo, Jesus comes, lo, he comes all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Lo, he comes. Yes, Jesus comes.
Before we sing the second stanza, let me just encourage you to pick up the tempo a little bit. You know, this is actually written in 2 beats per measure. Not a beat on each note that we sing, but on every other beat. And it really needs to move along just a little bit more. So let's pick up the tempo as we sing verse 2. Lo, the promise of your Savior.
Lo, the promise of your Savior, pardoned sin and purchased favor, blood-washed robes and crowns of glory, haste to tell redemption's story. Lo, he comes, lo, Jesus comes, lo, he comes all glorious. Lo, he comes, yes, Jesus comes. Kingdoms at their base are crumbling, hark, his chariot wheels are rumbling, hell, O tell of grace abounding. Lo, he comes, lo, Jesus comes. Lo, he comes all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Yes, Jesus comes. Nations wane, though proud and stately, Christ his kingdom hasteth greatly. Shout ye saints, your Lord is coming. Lo, he comes. Lo, Jesus comes. Lo, he comes. He comes all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Yes, Jesus comes. Sinners, come while Christ is pleading, now for you he's interceding. Haste ere grace and time diminish, shall proclaim the mystery finished. Lo, he comes all glorious. Jesus comes to reign victorious. Lo, he comes. Jesus comes.
Ah, it's good to hear you sing like that. Please be seated. The next item on our program, as you will see, is a mission story. And I thought we would hear from some missionaries we don't usually hear from. In fact, they're not around anymore to tell us their stories in person. But some of our very earliest missionaries have left us a record of some things that they did. And I'd like to share some of that with you. I have with me copies of a couple of pages out of the reviews, the Review and Herald, of more than 150 years ago. Let me just share with you here several items. Here's one from Hiram Edson, written August 20, 1851. We often think of Hiram Edson in connection, of course, with the sanctuary doctrine. But that isn't all that he did. He was a faithful missionary, a faithful worker for the Lord. And I want to share with you some of his exploits for God years ago. Dear Brother White, I am again at home after an absence of nearly 6 weeks and a journey of about 600 miles through valleys and over mountains and high hills in search of the scattered and wandering sheep that the prophets saw when they had a view of the scattering that has been in the cloudy and dark day since 44. I left home in company with Brother Case to attend the conference at Bath, of which Brother Rhodes has given you a history. Here we met with Brethren Rhodes and Andrews. After the conference closed, we parted with Brethren Rhodes and Case, who went in company in search of the scattered sheep of the house of Israel, and I accompanied Brother Andrews on the same errand. Our course from Bath, Steuben County, was through a portion of Allegheny County and across the state line into Potter and Tioga counties, Pennsylvania, then back through another portion of Allegheny County, thence through Cattaraugus, Chautauqua, Erie, Niagara, Genesee, Monroe, Wayne, Ontario, etc. A portion of our journey was through a country that was new. The roads were new and rough, over cradle knolls, stumps, and rough logways, slough holes, and trees fallen across our pathway. Much of our route was through deep valleys and deep and narrow ravines with almost perpendicular sides, banks, so that fallen trees reaching across the ravine from bank to bank were many feet above our heads as we drove through beneath them. Then again, we were climbing the mountains and high hills of the Alleghenies. But being guided by the good hand of our God, we found a goodly number of the Lord's scattered but chosen ones here and there upon the mountains and high hills, famishing for the bread of life, to whom was given a portion of meat in due season. They received the present truth gladly, and by the Spirit and of the Most High God, this truth was so deeply planted in their hearts and minds that I think they will not be easily turned aside from it into fables. We found a goodly number who received the truth gladly, living in the heights of the Alleghenies, over near the headwaters of the Genesee, Allegheny, and Susquehanna rivers. May God make them indeed, and in truth, like to a city that is set on a hill which cannot be hid. At this place also we held meetings with the Seventh-day Baptists. They had never heard the evidences of the speedy coming of Christ. They listened with marked attention and were urgent that we should stay with them longer and that we should call again. They wanted to hear more on this important subject. They had an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the Laodicean church. We believe the Lord has some hidden ones there, and that a strong band will be raised up on those heights of the Alleghenies that will be strong in the third angel's message. Well, I'm going to maybe not finish reading that one, but go on to another that I thought you would want to hear also. Hiram Edson was not only a home missionary, that is, in territories that were right around him or maybe a little farther away, but you might say he was also a foreign missionary. Let me read you this, a letter from Joseph Bates. And this was in 1852, written January 1st, 1852. Dear Brother White, since I started in October last on my Western tour, by the way, this was the West, you know, Western New York then. I have visited many places in Western New York. Oh, and he did go beyond as well, out to Michigan and such on his Western tour. Held protracted meetings in several places with our Sabbath brethren who are loving the present truth more and more. In many places, we found the brethren in deep trials, but prayer and perseverance in the straight truths that the little flock now see in their pathway, soon triumphed over the enemy, and our hearts were made glad and healed by the precious saving truths in the third angel's message. Brother Edson met me at Auburn, New York. We crossed the St. Lawrence for Canada West. last week in November, and have been working our way to the west along the south shore of Lake Ontario, and wherever we have learned that there were scattered sheep in the back settlements north of us, we have waded through the deep snow from 2 to 40 miles to find them. How's that for mission service? And give them the present truth, so that in 5 weeks we have traveled hundreds of miles and gained on the direct road westward 180 miles. So they went 180 miles west, but by going off to the north and south to find these scattered sheep, they had traveled hundreds of miles. We expect to close our labors here by the 5th and then go north again to Lake Simcoe, where we learn that there are some scattered flock. From thence it is probable we shall pass on the same course westward to the borders of Lake Huron and Erie. When we have finished our labors between these seas, we expect to return towards Rochester, New York. The first 20 days of our journey, we were much tried with the deep snow and tedious cold weather, and with but few exceptions, cold and impenetrable hearts. The truth was no food for them. Since that time, the scene has changed, and the truth begun to take effect, and some we trust are now searching for the truth. At Mariposa and Siugog lakes, 30 and 40 miles in the back settlements, and about 60 from here, we found, and here, by the way, is Toronto. That's where he's writing from. We found many hungry for the truth. Their minister objected to our message and labored hard to do away the Sabbath, of the Lord our God, and called upon his congregation to decide, concluding that his arguments were clear. About 12 out of 20 enlisted under the banner of the third angel, while but two, I believe, showed a sign in his favor. The rest we left in deep study, saying they would examine the subject. In reach, 8 more confessed the whole truth, and 3 other families admitted the Sabbath to be right. In both of these places, they are united in their monthly meetings. Their meetings were appointed for the last Sabbath. They have hopes of their other brethren because they know them to be honest. These two companies of brethren and sisters seem strong and united, and remind me very much of the Melbourne and Raton companies in Canada East that were so prompt and decided to move out on the Lord's side as soon as the truth was presented. You will see by the list of names for the paper and also other names that we send in with those that we are hungering hungering and thirsting for the truth in the last message. We believe that God has precious jewels in Canada West. We have no misgivings about this being the field of our labor for the present. Oh, Godspeed, the work of gathering the 144,000 here and all over the field. Amen. That's the kind of stuff our pioneers were made of, wading through the deep snow, even apparently, as he says here, for hundreds of miles to find the scattered flock. What propelled them to go to those kinds of lengths, to endure the cold, to carry this message to others? Well, it was a sense that Jesus was coming soon, and that to the measure that we have been blessed by the gospel message, we have a debt to others to share that message with them. And so we find their example really to be inspiring and encouraging us to look to the Lord for our duty, and to be prepared, as they were, to follow through on what he wants us to do, whether that be near or far, to say, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. Let's turn to number 573 and sing that hymn together. Number 573. Let's stand as we sing.
It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me speak. There may be now in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. O Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, though dark and rugged the way, my voice shall echo the message sweet. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. There's surely somewhere a lowly place in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus the crucified. So trusting my all unto thy care, I know thou lovest me. Thy will with a heart sincere, I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be.
Well, it's good to see each of you here today. This is a very special Sabbath, as we're talking about things that happened long ago, but that helped to make us who we are and what we are. Boys and girls, you all love Jesus, don't you? Yeah, good, good. So do I. Are you willing to do what Jesus calls you to do? That's what I'd like you to think about today as we remember some things from long ago. You know, the people that lived here long ago was a man by the name of Hiram Edson. And when Jesus did not come, when they expected him to in 1844, the morning after Jesus had not come and they were so disappointed, God helped Hiram Edson to understand what had happened. That instead of coming to this earth, Jesus had entered the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. And he was going to finish his work for us there, and then he would come to the earth. How could they get that word out to other people? Well, he and some friends began to study. And they wrote an article that they got published in a paper. You know, it takes money to publish things like that. And so they needed to to get money and Hiram Edson was willing to give what he had to help get that message out. We know that he sold his farm twice to help in the work of spreading the message that God was giving to them. He sold a flock of sheep once to help raise money to spread this message. But I want to tell you about his daughter today. Hiram Edson actually was the father of 6 children, but one of them died while just a baby. But in 1855, his daughter Ophelia had been attending some revival meetings that he was at also. And the gospel of Jesus, the message of Jesus was presented there. And you know, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to Ophelia's heart. She had been instructed well in the things that a Christian needs to know and to be able to do. But now the Spirit was saying to her, Ophelia, it's time for you to be baptized. Riding home in an open sleigh on that December evening in 1855, Ophelia was thinking about these things, and the Spirit was speaking to her. And she turned to her father and said, Daddy, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized tonight. It was already dark on that December evening, and they were driving 12 miles to get home in an open sleigh behind the horses. Daddy, I want to be baptized now. And her father said to her, Ophelia, you know that we have about 12 miles to go to get home. It's cold. Are you sure what you want to do now? Yes, Daddy, it is. Can I be baptized tonight? Well, there were some others with them. There was a minister with them. And the minister heard Ophelia's request. And he said, well, you know, there is a lake about 3 miles away over here. We could turn off to get to that lake. And she could be baptized there. And Hiram Edson said to his daughter, well, Ophelia, you know, probably there's going to be ice around the edge of the lake. It'll be cold. Do you really want to do this? Yes, Daddy, I can take it. This is what I want to do. I want to do it now. And so they all agreed that was what they would do, and they turned those horses and that sleigh off to that lake. And a minister who was with them volunteered to go into the water with Ophelia and with her father. He went with her into those cold waters. And there they baptized her that night. And then they bundled up as best they could and got back in the sleigh and drove the 2 or 3 miles back to where, to the main road, and on the 12 miles to go home. And when they arrived home, I'm sure they were chilled through and through, but they were very happy because they'd done what Jesus was calling them to do. Ophelia, the 12-year-old girl, had done what Jesus was calling her to do. You know, it isn't always comfortable. It isn't always easy to do what Jesus calls us to do. Always right. And once we determine that this is what Jesus wants us to do, and it is in harmony with the Bible, we need to be willing to step out and to do what the Lord asks us to do, to follow Him fully with our lives, with our means, with whatever we have, to be true and faithful to Jesus. I want to be faithful to Jesus. Don't you? Don't you want to be faithful? No matter what, would you raise your hand with me and say, Jesus, help me by your grace to be faithful always to you. Amen. Thank you so much. Go back to your seats. Now just walk nicely back to your seats.